Well, good morning, everyone. I think the best way to start worship is to start with some prayer. So, Father, Lord God, first of all, I just thank you, Lord, for everyone who was able to make it here this morning, Lord God. I pray for those who might still be coming on their way, Lord, may you protect them. Father, we just, first I want to lift up to you, Lord God, everyone that's going through so many different things in Texas, Lord God, after the storms. And I know there's been flooding and displacement even here in Florida, Lord, but right now I just really lift up that whole situation in Houston and all of Texas that has been hit by that storm, Father. We lift those families up to you, Lord, and we pray that even through the midst of everything they're going through, Lord God, that you can speak to them and provide for them and just more so even just spiritually, Lord God. I pray that how people help, Lord God, will be a testimony of your love, Lord. Right now, Lord, I also want to lift up Laura's family to you, Father. I guess her sister, Heather, Lord God, was in a bad accident, Father. And not only that, Lord, we pray for her, Father, but even Heather's mother-in-law, Lord God, is right now on life support and not expected to make it, Father. So, Father, I pray that you speak to both their spirits, Lord God. Just be with Heather for healing. I pray for her to be able to get better, Lord God. But even now, she's grieving, Lord, as she has to deal with this new situation, Lord. So I pray that you really just speak to Heather, Father. Please just make yourself completely known, Lord God. And we pray for Laura to have your words in her mouth as she encourages and speaks to Heather, Lord. And we also pray for Marie, who is on life support, Lord God. We pray that you speak to her, Lord God, as she's there in that state, Lord. I don't know where she's at spiritually, Lord God, but I know, Lord, there's that story of the 11th hour for a reason, Lord God. So if she hasn't fully given her heart, Lord, I know that right now she still can, Father. So we do pray for that, Lord. Pray for peace on that family, Father. And as we're singing today and worshiping you, Father, I pray that you do lead us in prayer, Father. And if you have something on our hearts that will pop up in our minds, Lord God, I pray that we have that freedom, and we thank you for that freedom, just to be able to cry out and pray to you, Lord.
Thank you.
Father, I know I pray this every time we sing that song, Lord, but I do pray that that's true, Father, that no matter what we go through, Lord, that we can choose to honor and serve you and worship you. Father, in the good times and in the bad times, Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you, Father. Help us to remember the times that we were so desperate, we were so low, Lord God, and you pulled us out, Father. We're never promised that everything's going to be easy, but we are promised that there's going to be hard times. But also, when we have those hard times, we get to cry out to you, our Savior and our Maker. Help us to remember that. Get to that point, Lord God, where we're so willing just to lay down everything and not care about anything except your approval and your love, Father. Help us to let go of the things that we're using to fill voids, Lord God, that only you can fill. Right now, Lord God, I want to lift up a friend to you, Lord. I just pray for her right now, Lord. I think she's kind of in a state of confusion, Father. Lord God, I pray that you just clear her mind, Lord. Speak to her your love, Father. I know that she has some truths deep down inside of her heart, Father, and I just pray, Lord God, that you speak to her, Lord. Your spirit can reach her, Father. We pray that for anyone that you know right now, Lord God, that seems to be drawing away from you and seems to be really listening to the world, Father. You're stronger than the world, Father. You created it. I pray that you speak to these people.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from your first of all your produce, so that your barns will be full with plenty and that your vats will overflow with you.
I know there were times when I first became a Christian, there were times where I just really felt like I was under attack by the enemy. And what my older sister had told me was like, all you have to do is just say the name of Jesus and it will go away. And at first I'm like, okay, that sounds kind of freaky. But then I started understanding the depth of that name and how powerful it was. And I would call out, I would just say the name Jesus. And I would just feel that attack just go away. And now as my walk has gotten deeper, that name is on my lips all the time. I'm always just praying it out, so I don't really even feel those attacks as much. Lord God, I pray, Father, that spiritually we can just get so deep, Lord God, that that name is always on our lips, Father. That your spirit, we're allowing it to constantly just be surrounding us everywhere we go and everything that we do, Lord God. I pray that even people just knowing us and just seeing us, Lord, that that name will just be so present in everything that we do. There'll be no question. versions of that. But Lord, thank you. Father, we do just praise you that it's the blood of Jesus, Lord God, that cleanses us, Lord. There's no other place that we can get it, Father. The whole world is searching for it, Lord. But Father, it's through Jesus, that name, that powerful, beautiful name. Father, help us to share that with others, Lord God. Help us not just to be satisfied that we have it, Lord, but help us to want to spread that name and share it with others. Pray that you lead us today, Lord God. And we pray that you just give Darren just your words, Lord God. Pray that your Holy Spirit just, that we just feel it so deeply.
Welcome to take an extra loaf and give it to a friend. Go to your neighbor. Just tell them it's a gift in whose name?
Jesus.
That's right. It's an opportunity to witness. So grab a loaf of bread, grab an extra one for a neighbor in Jesus' name. There's no cost at all. Somebody wanted me to mention there are tithes and offerings. We don't take up a tithes offering. We don't pass the plate. We're not going to go through like three offerings. Hallelujah. Put money. Just there's a little bird box in the back of the sanctuary back there. If you want to give and God's put it on your heart, you put the money in there. It's a little bird box because God provides for the birds of the air and for us. And so we receive those tithes and offerings back there. We're happy to have it in Jesus' name. I want to mention we've got a free QuickBook training class. Is that this Saturday? Is that correct? And that's at what time?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
Here.
Right here at the church. So that's pretty awesome. From a certified CPA, it is a big free gift in Jesus' name. And so if you would like to do that, if you would like to take that class, zero cost to you, just want to bless you in Jesus' name. Mary Kate will be leading that class in, I was trying to think of a good accounting joke. I couldn't come up with it quick enough. So, yes, Erica.
May I say one thing about that class?
Nope. Okay, yes, of course you can. Yes.
Just a couple things that Mary Kate did mention when we were first discussing doing this is one.
Sorry, don't do that. Got it.
You do need to have the QuickBooks disk installed on your computer. I mean, I suppose you can come and listen if you want to take some notes, but you should really bring your laptop and have it installed on your computer and linked to your bank account. So, because she's going to teach us how to use it and understand it. And also, if you are a member of Amazon Prime, it is on Amazon Prime right now for $179, which is significantly cheaper than it is like at Sam's or Walmart right now. So if you're not a Prime member, maybe get with me, because I am. Maybe I can get it for you. I'm not sure how many I'm allowed to get on Amazon, but we can try it.
Sign up, and I'll give you a call this week and just kind of touch base on what you want to get out of it and what your equipment is.
Perfect, yeah. So go ahead and let us know if you really are going to come, because Mary Kate's going to give you a call this week. Make sure she understands what you have and that it's compatible with what she's going to be teaching. And also, I guess there's a storm brewing, and so if storms are coming this way, we'll reschedule. We'll probably have to postpone. So
thank you for doing that, by the way. That's really wonderful. Thank you for giving your time. All right. We also have a couple other things here. If somebody wants to start a ministry, or you feel led to start something, Bible study, ministry, whatever, just talk to either me or Gary or Tom or somebody. We'll be happy to help set you up with things. A couple of events we just want to make you aware of. Dr. David Jeremiah, wonderful lover of the Lord. He's got a free event, A Life Beyond Amazing. He's coming to USF Sundome in October, October 3rd, Tuesday at 7 p.m. It's absolutely free. And so you can go online at joyfm.com and get tickets. Also, Chris Tomlin is coming also November 4th to the USF Sundome. Those tickets are not free, but you can also get them at joyfm.com. And then also right here in town at the Convention Center, right over the bridge, October 4th, is Matthew West. If you'd like to get tickets for that, also joyfm.com. And I'm going to skip a lot of this stuff. I feel like the Lord wants me to go. Oh, I won't skip this, Gary. That's Jazz. Was it Jazz? Or was that you, Gary? How was it Jazz?
Hard to tell the difference.
Yeah. All right, Gary, so we're having a men's Bible study.
Yes.
And also dinner.
Yes.
So like, what are we having? I'm sorry. It's a guy thing. I'm so sorry. The Bible study is why I come.
Sure it is.
Yes.
For our bodies, we're to see Mark and Debbie.
Okay.
And
awesome.
For our souls, to see the Lord.
That's awesome. Okay. All right, 6 o'clock for dinner, 6:30 for Bible study?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Awesome. And then we have, see, he's trying to prepare the way for this, the Transformers Bible study. Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30, and you guys want to do that every week. You're glutton for punishment, and so that's really awesome. So we have Baby Jasp every week, and so that'll be here, 6:30 to 8:30 for the youth. All right, is there anything else that I'm forgetting? Oh, yeah, barbecue and Bible study this week. We're in 1 Kings, chapter 13. We'd love to have you come out. And I think, again, please pray for those newly baptized folks last month, that God would continue to see them, encourage them, pray for them. It doesn't matter if you know them or not. Be in prayer for them. If times are tough, times are wicked, look at that storm and back. That's what's happening in this world today. It's getting darker and darker. We need to be being strengthened more and more in Jesus Christ. So Lord, bless them right now and encourage them and equip them in Jesus' name. All right, so we go through verse by verse through the Word. We just finished the book of Jonah. We spent a few months in that. We left poor Jonah. Very sad that God had done a wonderful work in saving people he didn't like. He was more interested in being comfortable than he was caring about people, and more interested in just kind of that, waiting attitude, that watching attitude, instead of working and seeing how I can help. It's so sad. And you guys might not know this, as we get into this next book, as we do a verse by verse through books of the Bible so that people know what it means in context. But we're superhero fans. I've got all boys. Okay? So whenever we have girls come over to the house, there's always superhero, there's always a battle going on. And for my 50th birthday, my wife got a comic book collection. I know, I'm just a little geeky. What? You don't need to say that again. Anyway, for my birthday, whatever. For my birthday, my wife put some of those comic books up on the wall for me. And, you know, so I've got a wall kind of along to the side, and, you know, we've got comics from 1967 when I was born, and the first Aquaman baby one from 65, the Avengers. So, anyway, so now we live in a time where, you know, the superheroes, I mean, are just everywhere, right? I mean, how many have seen the Avengers movies? Let's just raise your hand. Okay. Almost, okay, a lot of them, all right? You guys might know this guy, right? Flash, right? You have Netflix.
Barry
Allen. You have
Allen.
To be watching this, I would imagine. You've got Arrow. You've got a plethora of superheroes. If you've been to the movies lately, you've got Superman. Okay, you had a Wonder Woman movie just came out. Batman, this is the Justice League, right? Okay, I'm just saying Aquaman should have blonde hair, whatever, that's all I'm saying. A little old school on that, okay? And so there's tons of superheroes, and they're amazing, and, you know, but when it comes to, like, you know, being a Christian, you know, and, oh, believe, you know, all the superheroes, believe in yourself, and blah, blah, blah. When it comes to being a Christian, you know, sometimes I don't feel much like super anything. You know what I'm saying? I feel like more like sometimes, I don't know if you guys remember this guy. You guys, how many, just out of curiosity, I'll give you a hint. Believe it or not.
Greatest American hero.
Okay, for those of you who don't know this guy, he was the goof. He's the greatest American hero, and he's a complete goofball. He would continually say the wrong things. He didn't know how to fly. He would crash into things, through walls. They'd have to pull him out. He was just kind of a knucklehead, okay? Now, honestly, a lot of times, that's how I feel. I don't feel like the Superman. I don't feel like the Flash. I feel like this guy. And usually, I feel like this guy when I'm not drawing on Christ, when I'm not focused and founded in Christ Jesus, and I'm not drawing from Him. You know, I feel like the big goofball. And one neat thing, maybe you feel kind of like the goofball too, or the one that can't quite, you know, you don't have the great hair like Aquaman, whatever, you know. You know, Corinthians says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 27, 29. And because God uses the weak things to confound the wise, He says this to us who are wanting to follow Christ, who chose them, says, "For consider your calling, brothers and sisters," I would say. "Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish." Thank you, Lord. I qualify. He chose what was foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak, thank you, Lord, in the world to shame the strong. And God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He takes weak, knucklehead, greatest American heroes and turns them into Supermans and Super Wondermans. That's what He does. And you know what? All these superheroes, you know, they're fun with, you know, they're great to watch, you know what I'm saying? Who doesn't like Captain America? Come on. But you know what? I got, you guys, I'm sure, all know this, but you raise your hand. I have to next you. I'm done here. But you know what? In all honesty, all those superheroes, they're not real. I know you know all know this, right? It's not a shocker, maybe. For most of us. Batgirl right there, I know. It's hard. But I'm telling you. You know, it said in Acts, we went over this a little bit yesterday, but, you know, when they brought the disciples before the ruling council, and these guys were just average, ordinary guys, right? They're not super intellectuals. They weren't, you know, CEOs of big company. They were like tax collector guys, IRS agents. They were fishermen. You know, they were those type of people. But it says they they stood before the rulers of Israel, and the wisest, smartest men that probably were living at that time, and they said, now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained, or ordinary men, they marveled, and yes, I use that word for a reason. Anyway, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. You see, that's what's going to make a difference in your life. Jesus, spending time with him, spending time in his word, not getting intellectual information, but coming to know the Savior of the world, understand what his plan is for your life, Chris. Surrendering yourself continually to him. As they spent time with, they realized, who are these people? I don't know, but they've been with Jesus.
That's right.
See, when you spend time with him, that's going to overflow from your heart, from your mind, from your life. And when you haven't been with him, what?
That's going to overflow too.
If you don't know which it is, if you're married, ask your spouse. They'll let you know real quickly. But all those super... somebody sent me this, this, and I loved it. I loved it. Okay, somebody sent me this, and I... Oh, this is okay, Jesus, he's the real... He's the hero of humanity. And I just love the scene, right? And then he's sitting there talking to all the other superheroes, saying, and that's how I really save the world. Isn't that awesome? Thank you for that. When we spend time with Jesus, when we give our hearts and lives over to him, he fills us with his Holy Spirit. When we renew our hearts, renew our minds daily, Christ shines. But we're living in a dark, dark time. And, you know, when the Lord led me to this next one, I wasn't sure which title to use, so of course I got two. You guys can tell me which one you like better, or Scott will tell me a better one. We're going to be studying verse by verse in the book of Colossians. It's a short book, kind of like Jonah, so we're going to be in it for the next, you know, couple months, just like we did with Jonah. Hey, who said 6 months?
A year.
Rude. Well, Jonah was a few months, and so Colossians will be a few months. We're wrong. But, you know, this picture, to me, is just a picture of what this world is like and what I'm seeing in a lot of Christians' lives, or professing Christians, because the weeds and the darkness is just overtaking everything around us. How many of us know right now, folks that we're professing Christians, that are just off in left field right now, off the deep end? Just raise your hand right now. God wants them back. He wants you to be strengthened. He wants folks to see who he is. And he wants to be like that tree planted by streams of living water that yields its fruit in season. It's still standing. You know, when the heat comes, and when the dryness, and when the drought, and when the storm, Christ, as we those roots go down in him, we become stronger and stronger. He increases, we decrease. You have something you want to say?
Yeah.
Okay. Could you bring Jim or your mic? Oh, thank you. Oh, right behind you. Thank you, son. Good job.
You know, sometimes, is that on?
I think so.
Sometimes God calls us each to give testimony. And I would like to this morning, first of all, God is good all the time. And don't let us ever forget, today is the day, today is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in him, and be glad in him. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in him. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I believe that each day is such a precious gift. We just can't waste it. here a few weeks ago, I was going to see my urologist. He's one of the best there is. And he ran a test on me before, the week before. It's supposed to be one of the latest, greatest tests. And he said, Jim, you've got 75% chance of having cancer. Now, this is pretty scary to me, especially since I had dealt once with stomach cancer and lost half my stomach. Well, that kind of news kind of set you back. But, you know, I kind of was okay with it. Because God's been with me until now many things, many times he showed himself. Well, this time when I went back to see the urologist, he said, Jim, you know, we need to run a biopsy, so we'll do, it's one of the latest and greatest biopsies. Instead of taking 12 samples, we take 24 samples. So I said, oh, good. Yeah. And he did the procedure, and I went back, and he said, Jim, I don't know how it is or why it is, but you're cancer-free. And ever since I had that stomach cancer, they run tests regularly. They have PET scans and those kind of tests, and my cancer doctor is just ecstatic because there's no more sign, no recurrence of that. And I just praise God because he's been in it all through my life. He's one of the darkest times of my life. He saved me, and it was through the 91st Psalm. There's such a precious promise there, covering you in his wings. And it was just through that word that I read again and again during that time that he got me through the dark times. I mean, the police were knocking at our door, you know, false accusations. And God was there. He met him at the door. I'm so grateful to all the times he showed himself in my life to be faithful and true. And just his love just shines through every time. And I just thank God that he's been so good to me. I didn't deserve it. He was there.
Amen.
Can I ask Jim a question? Thank you.
Yes.
Jim, are you telling me that God is still in the miracle business today?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Just want to make sure.
That's awesome. Thanks, Jim. That's interesting. That makes all that even more meaningful. Still standing. The book of Colossians is about the substance, supremacy, and sufficiency of Christ in our lives. And I'm seeing so many folks fade away, even in the world. You know what they said? My wife got a text this morning from the Department of Education. Do you know what the leading cause of death is between the ages of 10 to 20 now?
Suicide.
Oh, okay. Well, you're right. Do you know what the second leading cause is in their 20s? Suicide for those in the 20s. There's an absolute hopelessness, and the enemy has come to lie, steal, destroy, and kill, and rob you of hope. Jesus is called the God of hope. We'll get to that word really shortly. But our God is called the God of hope. He is the one who gives us hope. He is the one that gives us purpose. It's Jesus. And a lot of folks are going so far astray because they're not rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. It's almost like, I don't know if I could, if this will make sense, but it's almost like Jesus is a part of your life, but it's not. He's not in control of your life. You know what I'm saying? He's a part, but he's not preeminent. He's not first. He's maybe even he's prominent in your life, you know? He's important, but he's not preeminent. He's not supreme. He's not first in your life. And so that tree is withering. And God wants you to be blossoming and bearing fruit, you know, in those worst seasons. it reminds me of this scripture in Colossians. This is an intro. It reminds me of Jeremiah 17:7-8, which says, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence." Have you made the Lord your hope and confidence? I know you're here. That's super duper. Praise the Lord. But is He your hope? Is He your assurance? Is He your confidence? Have you put your faith and your trust in Him alone? Mm-hmm. Not your bank account, not that relationship, not the whatever you're putting in Jesus alone. It goes on to say, the ones that have made the Lord their hope and confidence, they are like trees planted by the riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. They're not bothered by the heat or worried by the long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they go right on producing fruit. Fruit that will last. That's where we need to be. Whatever you're putting your hope in, if it's not Jesus Christ, it's poisoning you. God wants you to flourish and to be nourished. It's Jesus. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Colossians 2:7 says this, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord," right? "Continue to live your lives in Him, rooted, and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith, as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." That's what Colossians is about, being rooted in Christ. The other one I thought of was this one in Colossians, which is just Jesus plus nothing equals everything. You know, He is the substance, He is the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. There was Charles Spurgeon told a story one time many years ago, and it was during the glory days of the Roman Empire. And during those days, there was a severe famine, especially in the area of North Africa. And so Nero, who was the emperor, and he wanted to make himself God, but Nero sent these huge galleons to these famine-stricken areas. And so he sent them out, and when all the starving people, when they looked on the horizon and they saw these huge galleons coming to them, into this famine-stricken area, the starving people saw the ships on the horizon, they rejoiced greatly, and they said, quote, "Caesar has sent ships. He sent the ships. They're on the way. There's hope for us." And Spurgeon recounted the tragic end of the story. For when the ships finally sailed and arrived into port, the North Africans sadly discovered that these massive galleons are full of sawdust. And the sawdust was to lay on the floor of the circuses Rome was exporting to the colonies. The people were longing for food, but they got sawdust. They wanted substance, but they got a circus. That's what a lot of people are trying to do. They're wanting, and we're getting sawdust. We're getting a circus. You know what I mean? And Jesus has the food. He's got everything we need for eternal life. That's the substance of Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus, it says in Him, you have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Not even some of them. If you have Jesus, you have everything. You have everything you need for life and godliness. Isn't that amazing? But we think, oh yeah, but we really need this, we really need that. And we go off course. In the book of Colossians, the first chapter, so like I said, it's four chapters. The first chapter is more of like an introduction. The second chapter is warnings about there's some bad doctrine going on. They're trying to mix Christ with everything else. And that's kind of what we're doing today. And then chapter 3 is like exhortations about life. And then chapter 4 is like reminders on how to live our life outsiders and with believers. The emphasis in the first two chapters are more doctrinal, they're more corrective, and the emphasis on the last two chapters are more practical. And the theme is, again, just Christ Jesus being a supreme sufficiency. The author was Paul. We believe that he was writing this when he was in prison in Rome. In about 60 to 62 AD, it was written to the Christians in Colossae. And the main verses, the key verses, probably I would say 2, 9, and 10. There might be a couple on there. But basically, this is what it says. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you, meaning those who have been born again, who have given their lives over to Jesus Christ, you have been brought to the fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. You have that same fullness. Yeah, stop there. Now, one interesting thing is, it's kind of a weird thing, Paul has never even visited Colossae. Okay, the city of Colossae. It's a town about 100 miles east of Ephesus. And the church was probably established there by a guy named Epaphras that we're going to read about in chapter 1. And he probably heard, he probably got saved in Acts chapter 19 on Paul's missionary journey. He went over to Ephesus in that area. And it says in Acts chapter 19, verses 8 through 10, that he preached in the hall of Tyrannus, and then people from all over this region, including Colossae, Laodicea, they would come and they would hear him speak about this Jesus, and he got saved, and then he brought it back to his town. And so, when we go over the first couple of chapters, you know, as we're talking about this, part of the letter is going to be corrected. Colossae was like on a I'll show you in a second, but Colossae was on an important trade route. It was kind of like in the middle between the east and the west, and so there were religious people wanting to impose all their laws and religion and Judaizers. There was Eastern mysticism. There was, you know, Christians there, and they were kind of all getting tangled up together, making Jesus less than who he says he is. Kind of like right now, right? Jesus is no problem for people unless he's the only way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is no problem for anybody unless you say what Acts 4:12 says, that he's the only name under heaven by which people must be saved. People don't mind you adding Jesus, like a little bit of salt to your dinner. But when you make him preeminent, when you make him number one in your life, well, then there's problems. And so the enemy was kind of making Jesus less than who he says he was. So Paul, hearing about these wonderful people who love the Lord, going and all these people trying to lead him astray, he wrote this letter. If somebody could read maybe the first, I don't know, how about the first couple of verses? Whoever has that, wherever the mic is, just raise your hand or something. Somebody will bring the mic. If somebody would just read the first couple of verses for us in Colossians chapter 1.
Paul, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers who are in Christ, who are in Colossae.
Good. So this is just a standard greeting in Paul. This is how he would send his letters. Like in the old, okay, right now, if we send a letter to somebody, we put it at the end. Don't we put our name? You know, sincerely, Scott, or love always, Natalie, or, you know what I'm saying? We put it at the end. But they used to write them on big parchments. So you wouldn't want to open this huge parchment to see who wrote it. You would put it at the beginning. So Paul's like saying, hey, it's me, Paul. Hi, guys. This is an important letter. He says, I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus, and I've got like some spiritual authority here. I want to tell you these things because people are leading you astray. And he says, I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And he's like, man, I'm telling you these things. I'm telling you the truth by the will of God. Not because, you know, this was a career choice for Paul, or he just wanted to do something different, or this is, it was God's will that he went out and did this. and Timothy, your brother. And it goes on to say, to the holy or to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Okay, so first of all, we've got different folks here from different backgrounds. When it says he's writing to the saints and believing or faithful brothers, I just want you to know, if you have been born again, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You're a saint. Mm-hmm. Saints aren't on the dashboard of your car. They're not a statue in your lawn or in your church. A saint is what you and I, the Bible calls you and I, when we've given our life over to Jesus Christ. We're saints. The people in Colossae, they were called the saints. And really, there's only two types of people in this world. There's the saints and the ain'ts. Right? Either you've given yourself to Jesus Christ or you haven't. So if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, just as this letter was written for you, for them, it's also written for you. Because he wants you to know something, especially during these troubled times. He goes on to say, says to the saints and the faithful brothers in Christ, in Colossae. Well, what does that mean, in Christ, in Colossae? We almost have two addresses, right? Okay? What city do you live in, Natalie? What city do you live in, George?
Palmetto.
Where do you live in, Gloria?
Bradenton.
Right. We have that address, right? In Colossae, in Bradenton, in Palmetto, in Sarasota. But more importantly than that, spiritually, we are found in Christ. And that comes first, right? Because let's say you move from Bradenton to Timbuktu, right? But if you're in Christ, that's your home. Does that make sense? You tell me, you guys always hear from me, I've taught this before, but tell me, I'm going to ask you, Mark, too, so you're not going to get away with that, I'm going to surprise you with it. What does it mean to be in Christ? He's saying, I'm writing this to the brothers in Christ at Colossae. What's the big deal? What does it mean in Christ? What's the big deal? Is it a big deal?
It's a huge deal.
Why?
Because it's our identity. It's our true identity. It's not the false identity that each of us goes and operates by. Like, what have I done in the past? What mistakes have I made? How bad have I been? Or any of that stuff. That's what the world wants us to think. We are awful. We are nasty. And we are a result of all the mistakes that we've made in our lives. But when we read the Word of God and we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are in Him and God sees us through the blood of Christ. That is our true identity. And that is the way we need to operate. We need to believe that and believe what the Word of God says, and then others will see that and want it. Because they can't have it if they're not in Christ. But when they see the fruit in us, because our identity is in Him and He lives in us, they want this in this war-torn, hate-filled, strife-filled world. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Great job. Anybody else want to add to that? Mark just dropped the mic. But that's our address. We are in Christ at Colossae. Now, when I read this, you know, Colossae, when we went through the book of Acts, some of you guys went through it with us, and that was like, I don't know, a year or something like that. When we went through the book of Acts, all right, you might notice that Colossae was never even mentioned. There was no Colossae. I mean, we went to a lot of places, right? So that kind of makes me wonder, okay, well, is Colossae, does it exist? You know, there was a triangle of cities. If you go to the end here in Colossians, okay, go to Colossians chapter, like it's a big book, chapter 4, okay, second here. In verse 16, it says, after this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter to Laodicea. So, and then there's another one in verse 13. He's talking about Epaphras. In chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. So I always, I'm a history guy and I'm a bishop, so I want to know, did these, okay, it's in the Bible. Is it true? I want to know. Do these places exist? So, I looked it up. I did the lights. Lights! Thank you. Oh, I had all this in Christ Jesus, but Mark, you did such a great job. I'm just going to let that go. Good stuff. Okay, I got to say one quick thing about being Christ real quickly. Ephesians chapter 1:3 says this, praise be to the Father, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Listen, you have it all, A to Z. Listen to this real quickly. You know, we want to know who you are in Jesus Christ. I'm not going to go through all these scriptures, but if you look at it, here we are, A to Z. I'm accepted. I'm blessed. I'm chosen. I'm delivered. I'm elevated to heavenly places. I'm forgiven. I'm God's workmanship. I'm healed. I'm innocent before him in love. I'm justified by faith, kept by his power, loved unconditionally, more than a conqueror. I am not condemned. I've overcome the world. I'm predestined to sonship. I am quickened, I am redeemed, I am sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. I'm to his praise, I'm to his glory, I'm victorious through Jesus Christ. I'm washed in his blood, I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. I'm yoked together with believers, and I'm zealous for good works. Here's all the scriptures. A to Z. You have it all in Christ Jesus. Don't let the world tell you you are not that. When you are in Christ, you have everything. It's
that
amazing.
Is our identity. That is our identity.
Yes.
Not anything else, not anyone else, what anyone else says, that is our identity. If we are in Christ.
Yes. It's when we get our eyes off who we are in Christ that we start looking more and more like the world and less like Jesus. Remember who you are. You know what? If you're going the wrong way, the neat thing about God is you can do something really cool. You can turn around. I just turned around and go the same way. You can turn around and go the opposite way right now, today. You can say, Jesus, will you help me just to turn around and go, I want to be in you. I want to be found in you. I want to be like that tree planted by streams of living water. Will you help me? You cry out to him. You ask him for help. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your purpose. I am going nowhere in this life. I am not. People don't see Jesus in me. I want them to see you. I want, when you look at me, not to see Darren. I want you to see Jesus shining in and through me. I was talking with somebody today. I was almost in tears. Telling this person, I'm a knucklehead without the Lord. I was talking to this guy last night. Some people came in there with another few churches, and they saw me over here, and they had some guy on the phone from Washington, D.C., and he's putting together this, he's done it 50 years in the ministry, he's putting together this Thanksgiving dinner. I don't know what you think of Donald Trump, it's not a political thing, I'm just telling you what he's doing. And he's putting together a Thanksgiving dinner where Donald Trump and Melania are going to serve vets. They're going to put on aprons, and they're just going to serve them food. And Fox News is going to, you know, be there, whatever. He's done it for the Bushes. He knows the Bushes. He knows the Reagans. And so they're saying, this is Pastor Darren. He's an amazing man of God. He's going to pray for you. You're really discouraged. Here he is.
Ah. Hello.
Not only that, but it's on the speakerphone. So, and it's loud because I'm like, I said, I'm sure you know this, since you've been walking 50 years with the Lord, and now you're in Washington, you're passing all this legislation. I don't even know who this guy is. I don't even know who he is, some famous guy. I don't know. I just said, listen, here's the deal. I'm just a knucklehead who loves Jesus, and I would love to pray for you. And he kind of laughed. He said, that's how I feel too. and just got to pray for him. But you know what? God did work right in through that prayer. Just because I just cried, Jesus, I don't even know what to pray for. Will you help me pray? That's how desperate of I am on Jesus. Call out to him. Every situation. With your kids. With your relationship. With your health. Right? With what you do next. It's all Jesus. I want him to so shine through you. Yes, you're shining. But I want it to be magnified. I want the Lord just be blind to people. Woo! Was that Connie? Wait, I can't see. There's a glow coming off her.
Absolutely.
That's what I want. And that's what the Lord wants you to do. It's reflecting his image. All right. Sorry. No, okay, I'll shut up now. All right. So here's Colossae. Okay. It's in kind of in modern day Turkey. You can't really see so good from this map. But Corinth is over here. Greece is over here. Italy is over here. Israel's down here. There's a little triangle of cities, okay, that they were talking about. All right. They're all about 10 miles from each other. Colossae right here. Hierapolis, Laodicea. Laodicea is mentioned, one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. You remember that? Right there, all together. A little triangle of cities. Almost like you would say Sarasota, Bradenton, Venice. Right? It's the same thing with this. Okay, so I wanted to see, do these places, do they actually exist? And so here, just so you guys can see it for yourself, here's there was lots of pictures. I shaved it down for one each. Here's a colonnaded street in Laodicea that still stands to this day. Okay? It does exist. There's a whole city. You can look it up online for yourself. Not only in Laodicea, but here's a Roman theater in Hierapolis. That was more of a metropolitan area. And when I saw this, when they originally started, it was just a big mound. A big mound, and it took them a long time to dig it down and to dig that out. But here's a big Roman theater there. Amazing. Colossae. And I tell you how that it was a big mound because I saw the picture, but also to tell you, they also found Colossae. Okay? Ready? Excited? Ready? Here we go. Come on. Ready? Is that Josh? Anyway. There it is. I know. It's not as impressive, right? Let's be honest. That's called a tell. And that's what they all look like before they start digging. And they haven't been able to dig there yet. Some Australian university has permission to do that, but they're trying to work that out with the Turkish government. But that's the tell at Colossae. There's some ruins that you can see. You got close-up shots. But they do exist. All the cities do exist. So I think that's cool. He starts off, he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father. And I really like that. Like, grace is like was like a common Greek way of saying hello, and peace was like the common Jewish way of saying, like, hello, you know, it's like shalom. And so he's saying charis and shalom, grace and peace, you know, to you from God our Father. And I like even the order. Grace is before peace. You know, Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved by faith. Mm-hmm. There's a great chasm between you, unholy person, a sinful man, sinful woman, and God, a holy God. And grace, God's grace, bridges that divide. It's unmerited favor. It's Jesus, it's God stooping down and saving a sinner and a wretch like me. That's what grace is. It's getting what I don't deserve. If God's mercy is like canceling, if let's say I had $1 billion in debt, and God's mercy is like saying, okay, I'm taking that $1 billion debt, all your sin, and I'm bringing it to zero. God's grace is saying, hey, I'm going to give you $100 billion in addition to that in your bank account. That's what God's grace is. And when we have God's grace, then we get next, we get his peace. Therefore, having been justified by faith, I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. After we get God's grace, we get God's peace. He goes on to say in verse 3, and this is kind of a hit to me. Now, remember, Paul hasn't even visited these people. He doesn't even know them. Okay? Listen to what he says. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Think about that. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. What does that say about Paul? What do you think that says? He's always praying. He doesn't even know these people. Look, just for a second. What about you? Look around. Look around some people. Do you see people you don't know? Look around. How about that? Really, do it. Don't be scared. Are there people here you don't know? You know what? You may not know them personally, but you can pray for them. They need your prayer. If there's someone you think's got it all together, you can come see me later and I'll let you know they don't have it. They need prayer. I need prayer. We all do, right? Yeah. Even Auntie Gloria, you need prayer. Is that correct?
Amen.
See? Extra grace for Mark.
Absolutely.
And you know, Samuel said in 1 Samuel 12:23, and it was kind of a little weird. I'm thinking, man, he hasn't even met them, and he's like praying. And it reminded me of Samuel, who said, "Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." And here Paul is, he's praying for people he doesn't even know. I love that. I love that about Paul. You know, Martin Luther said prayer was so important to him. He said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. And the reason why is because when you realize that God saved you and has a heart for you, and realize how much he saved you, you want to go and then pray for others. C.S. Lewis said, I pray because the need just flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. And I like Corey Ten Boom. Here is Paul's like a monster for prayer, you know? And that's like the first thing that gets shoved out of our busy lives, isn't it? Corey Ten Boom said this, if you guys remember her, she was in a Nazi concentration camp. She says, when a Christian shuns fellowship with other Christians, the devil smiles. When he stops studying the Bible, the devil laughs. But when he stops praying, the devil shouts for joy. You be a man or woman of prayer. And you know what? Prayer changes things. And if nothing else, it changes you. It's almost like, do you guys remember, there's a movie called Pay It Forward?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you remember the whole premise of that? It's almost like Paul is praying it forward. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't even know these people, and he's sitting there praying for them and for what they're going to become. Pray it forward. He goes on to say, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Not if we, but when we pray for you. Because we've heard of your faith. Oh, I thought about that too. He says, I don't even live there, and I've heard of your faith. And it was kind of like a kick to me. Have people heard of your faith? Have they heard of my faith? Right? Because sometimes it's very easy to be an undercover Christian. You know what I'm saying? I'm 007 Christian. Nobody knows who I am. Where you go, the people you work with, the people you meet, do they know you're a believer? I mean, I'm not saying you have to be a goofball about it, you know. Hi, I'm Dave Brown, I love Jesus. You know, I'm not saying you're a goofball about it. But have they heard of your faith? Do they know where you stand? Yeah.
So, something came this morning.
Yeah, we'll bring you the mic even. Thanks, buddy. Good job.
Something that came to me this morning to go along those lines too is not being an undercover Christian. Is God wants us to be in the light, you know? And I think being in the light is being out there so people can see Christ through you. If we're keeping it to ourselves, we can very easily fall into darkness, you know. So the more we put ourselves out there, the more more of the light, the more God is you know, shining with us.
Yes.
That it's, you know, just keeps that darkness away. You know.
Amen. Good, good. Do you have something, Delia?
No.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's like.
Oh. So we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you had for all the saints. Now, I like that too, and the love you have for all the saints. Now, sometimes saints, fellow Christians, they can be kind of, I can have love for some of the saints, you know what I'm saying? But if you walk with the Lord for a long time, you know that sometimes the saints can, oh, your eye's twitching. You know, sometimes they can be do knucklehead stuff, sometimes because they're immature, sometimes because they're self-centered. They can do some real knucklehead stuff, but he's saying your love for all the saints. And he says, we've heard of the love you have for all the saints and the faith that springs from the hope you have. And you guys might remember that faith, hope, and love. You know, but he's saying, I've heard of this love that you have. And by this, John 13:35 says, all men will know that you're my disciples if, and that's a big if, you love one another. Listen, can I just be a blunt honest? We've got enough self-centered, self-serving Christians to last a lifetime. And I don't even know if they're all believers, to be honest with you. I desire to see more believers who are willing to say, not what's best for me, what's best for the Lord, what's best for you. How can I love you? How can I serve you? That's dying to self. That's taking up your cross. That's following him. But that's loving others. When you do that, people will see it. Isn't that true? And is faith important, folks?
Oh.
Listen, if you're not struggling with something right now, you don't have an opportunity for faith. Maybe you should thank God for that struggle. I say that to myself. I'm in the middle of struggle. Why be, Lord? But the Bible says, you know, when we exercise that faith, we trust him at his word, our faith gets strengthened. We get encouraged. We get strengthened in the Lord. And the Bible says, without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, it says in the word that, you know, when Christ comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Will you find people that will say, oh, I know this logically says this, I know emotionally I want to do this, but I'm going to trust in God's word that says this. Are you going to do that? Am I going to do that? You can choose right now. And then finally, this will just hope. Now, this is kind of a funny word, because when I hear the word hope, this is what I think. Wishful thinking. If I said, you know what? I hope that I win the lottery. What does that really mean?
I want.
Is it going to happen, you think?
No.
Probably not. Really? You know what I mean? If I hope I win $1 million, right? It's probably not going to happen. But a biblical, the word here for hope is a word in Greek called elpis. Elpis. And it means not wishful thinking, confident, assured expectation. So when it talks about hope in the Bible, that we have hope, we have confident, assured expectation. And that's the cool thing. It says this in Romans 5, 2-5. We have gained access by faith unto the grace in which we now stand. And we boast on the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but on the glory of our sufferings. Because we know that the sufferings produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Confident expectation and assurance. We know that God's going to work this out. You can trust him. Hebrews 6:9 says, we have this hope in Jesus as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. This world is crazy, but Jesus, the hope in him, the assurance that we have in him, is firm and secure, kept in heaven. The next words it even says here, in Colossians, it says it's stored up in heaven for you. that you've already heard about the word. It's already stored up. Just like in Timothy, it says, we are going to be given crowns of righteousness that are already stored up for you. It's like a done deal. You just got to go pick it up. When you change physical addresses from this life to the next, you can go get into heaven. They're waiting for you. It's done. You have a confident assurance. That's the hope what Christ is talking about. And that's why we're so foundational, His Word. We want to get His Word in you, because His Word said in Romans 15:4, and the Scriptures were written to teach and encourage us by giving us hope. When you see that God has come through again and again and again and again, this person, that person, this story, that story, you can take that and apply it in your own life. And you hold on to it and say, right, you got Joseph through this, you're getting me through it. This person trusted you there by faith, and you did this miracle. I'm holding on to you. You can look through the Scriptures. You have that repository in your heart to have that assurance. And know that's why they were written. But if you don't take advantage of it, if you're not getting it in you, you're not going to have it down deep. Yes?
One verse that we all ought to know is Hebrews 11:1. We just heard 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have it after we believe it, not beforehand. The substance of things not seen. Yet.
Amen. And we'll leave with this last scripture, and I didn't get through chapter 1 like I wanted, but that's okay. This is Romans 15:13. I'll just leave. This is, you know, this is almost like a prayer. May the God of hope, the God of confident, assured expectation, may the God of that confident, assured expectation, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, will you just instill the importance of Jesus Christ in each one of our hearts, Lord God. Lord, for those who need reminding, remind them. For those who need an infusing of your Holy Spirit, fill them right now, Lord. For those who need a washing of their minds with the water of the Word, Lord, draw them back into your Word, Lord God. Draw them back in and give them that confident, assured expectation that they can trust in you, Jesus, no matter what. Lord, bless this congregation, each person that came here today to hear this message, Lord God, that they can trust in you, your heart, your word, and your Holy Spirit's power. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us.
Amen.
We love you, Lord, and we ask your blessing of that assured, confident expectation that will be secured in each person's heart today as they choose by faith to trust in you. We love you and bless you, and I ask that you would bless each individual here and this body as a whole, Lord. Thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for them. Lord, bless them in the name of Jesus Christ in ways I don't even know. We ask these things in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you guys. God bless you.
We'll
see you Tuesday.